Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Foods & Inns Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this particular conference. These statements are not guaranteed for future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Milind Dalal, the Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Greetings to my fellow shareholders, analysts, well-wishers, and prospective shareholders. My team, led by Molloy Saha, our CEO, and Mr. Anand Krishnan, our CFO, are on the call and will elaborate further on the performance. What I would like to specifically mention is a significant event since the last call. One of my co-directors on the board, Mr. Raymond Simkins, who's also been a shareholder holding over about 11% shares for almost over a decade or more, has desired to join me as the co-promoter since the reclassification of the ex-promoter happened. I believed it to be a good move, and in the interest of the company and its future, especially because of the wide experience that Mr. Raymond Simkins has and with his connects internationally, we thought it would be a very good move and that I have signed up a shareholders' agreement, which, as a consequence of that, has triggered an open offer, and the same is currently underway, and we should be able to know its results in the near future. Having said that, Mr. Raymond Simkins has already vigorously started his efforts by giving us the right introduction and connects internationally, and one of our products in the tomato pulp range, we shall be launching in our own brand sometime end of this quarter or early next quarter in Hong Kong. This is a test-case scenario, and we expect it to replicate the same in many other regions where he operates. With this, I will now open up the call for questions for my team and me as required to be answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question from the line of Ravi Agarwal from Agarwal Investments. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, we can hear you, Ravi.
Okay. So my question is regarding the packing project. I asked in quarter two, you said project will be started on 22nd of November. So what type of hurdles we see in the project to actually start this in FY25?
You are correct. I think we have communicated that in the month of November, packing project likely to start. However, we could not complete the entire commercial run, I mean, sorry, entire operation by November. The entire operation is completed by March, and now, since it's a seasonal product in nature, because it will be packing to be produced from the mango peel, So its commercial production, though it started in the month of March, but now it's likely to be fully operational from this month end or early June, because we need to have the mangoes to run the facility.
Sir, what type of our tomato processing business has we done with DPIIT?
DP?
IIT. That's the name of the organization, government organization.
We are not doing with any DPIIT.
Any tomato processing business that you have started means?
We have our own facility tomato. And we are selling in the open market. We have no tie-up with any government or anything.
Okay. And sir, as you told us, some active for big brand B2B and leave the revenue in temporary co-packing with us that we have.
I think there's some disturbance. We can hear you properly. Can you repeat, please?
Yes, sir. In quarter two, you told that you have some active conversation with some big brands for B2B business and believed to be big revenue in January co-packing on their behalf.
Yes, there are two things. The big brands which you are talking about is for the spray drying plant as well as from the Tetra Decard facility both. Spray drying plant finally after the audit, we are able to start the co-packing with the big brands. The quarter four, we are able to do around 50 metric ton of co-packing for some brands and two brands basically, and other order received for this financial year. For the Tetra Decard, for around with a couple of brands, though we are not able to close any deal as of now with these two brands, because there are a lot of R&D work is going on the recipe side, and a lot of sampling process is going on. Whatever we have anticipated that we can close, I think the timeline is taking more than what we targeted. That is the reason. But we hope very soon we'll be likely to close this co-branding with couple of. However, in the Tetra Decard, we are launching our products, own brand product, which is one of the mango products which is launched last year. We got a good response, and then we have changed some recipe on this mango product, and this from July onwards, our new products will be in the market.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Ravi Agarwal, you are tomato processing line. I agreement with DPIIT to put up a tomato processing line. There is no incentives that we are actually getting under this. The project is already underway, and we have almost finished the capex for that particular line in Gondi facility of Nashik of ours as such. So, MS, I think that was the question that he was actually referring to with DPIIT.
That's the one. Okay.
Thank you, sir. And sir, one last question. I have seen in your presentation that we received 25.4 crore in as a PLI income incentive this year, this financial year.
Yes.
And sir, what type of products actually we launch in Hong Kong market? The last question for my.
There's a lot of disturbance.
Mr. Ravi. So, with respect to the PLI, as of now, with respect to the Hong Kong market and what we are doing out here, I have no relevance. But generally, there are two categories in which we are actually getting PLI incentives. One is category one for things that we have actually done. If we still incentives, so the incentives are 25.4 crores with respect
to interrupt you,
the sales growth that we have done.
Audio is not very clear from your line, Mr. Krishnan. If you could speak a little closer to the microphone.
Okay. Yes. Am I clear now?
Yes, this is a little better.
Okay, so I was just saying that the incentives that we get under the PLI is basically under two categories, that is category 1 and category 3. Category 1 refers to the capex that we have done and the sales growth that we need to achieve over a period of 6 years so that we can actually achieve around 145 crores of incentives. Another 2.7 crores of incentives is under category 3, which is for export of goods, of branded goods outside India. So whatever we are doing in Hong Kong, we might be able to get something based on the export of, the under category 3 for export as such. But apart from that, there are no other incentives or no tie-ups that we can actually do with Hong Kong to get additional incentives.
Okay. Thank you from my side and all the best for the future, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Shalini Gupta from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I had two questions. First is, in the last conference call, you were very bullish about the business. You were talking about big numbers. And now this quarter, we see those numbers have not come through. So my question is, what has changed? Is it that the overall demand has been very poor? If you could comment on this.
Anand, will you take it over?
I couldn't hear the question. Can you please repeat?
What he's trying to say... Okay, I'll take it over. Anand, you can also talk. What he's trying to say that last time when we spoke, we have talked about a good quarter and Q4 should be a good, I think, which is correct. But she's telling that our quarter 4 is not so good, whatever we have anticipated or informed. I think we have a good volume growth of 20% plus, Anand, correct?
Correct. So, Shalini, the 20% volume growth has actually come in. So, if you actually see our investor presentation and the con calls that we have actually been having, we have actually told you that at the beginning of the season, we had actually contracted and booked orders for 40% more than what we actually did in FY23. So we had produced accordingly and the call-offs actually happened over a period of 15 to 16 months. So Q4 saw 20% volume growth. Hello?
Yes, sir. I couldn't catch that. Can you please repeat?
I'm saying if you actually have referred to our previous investor conference call and the investor presentations that we have put up, we mentioned that we had almost a 40% order book growth over the previous year, that of FY23. And with respect to that, we had produced accordingly. The sales fall-off in the first Q1, Q2, and Q3 was lower than what we actually expected. Q4 actually saw a Y-on-Y jump of 20-odd%. And as we speak in Q1 FY25, the volume growth is much higher than 20% as we speak as such. So we are in line with whatever commitments that we are given. And if you have any further questions, happy to answer.
Yes, I mean, Jenna, when do we see that in the profit and loss top line sales revenue figure? Because you're saying the volume has been very good, but then obviously the realization has been very poor. So, I mean, if you could just talk about when, as investors, we see it in the profit and loss account.
Shalini, so one more thing that we have repeatedly told in all of our conference calls is that our top line is a function of the raw material price. So the raw material then obviously has to come down irrespective of how much the volume growth is. Obviously at some point of time if the volume growth is higher, then the sales top line has to grow. But then it's a pass-on that we actually have, which is a risk-free model that we have. So the gross margin per kg is what we actually try and improve over a period of time on a year-on-year basis, and that's something that we've actually done. So I'm surprised that you have put up this question.
No, so basically you're saying that realizations have come down during the quarter. Is that what you're saying?
The realization comes down when the raw material price comes down. So in 2023, the raw material price came down because of which the sales price comes down. But the sales price does not have any function with respect to the gross margin per kg.
No, that much I understand. But in the fourth quarter of financial year 24, if the sales price come down, that we've seen such poor top line growth.
So Q4 of FY23, the raw material price was very high. So Q4 of FY24, the raw material price was low because the inventory season 23, the raw material price has come down.
So when do you expect the raw material price to move up?
It is not
every season.
Sorry. Madam, we are dealing in agricultural product. It's not in our hand. It's not in our control. It basically depends on how's the crop situation. If it's a surplus crop, automatically raw material price will go down. If there is a space in the availability of the crop, raw material price will go up. So being an agricultural commodity, these are the uncertainties always there in our raw material price. And accordingly, what is our model is that cost plus model. So to reduce the risk on the raw material volatility, is a cost plus model industry works where we can pass on the entire volatility of the raw material to our client. And we work on the fixed margin to help or to improve our gross margin, what Anand just now communicated to you.
No, but you would have an estimate because you are in the market for so long. So do you estimate that prices will go up or the prices remain low?
Yeah, madam, all that I can say, Milamdalite, that currently this year the prices are showing higher, but what are the reasons? The heat wave is tremendous. What will happen? The chances of not getting enough raw materials can be there. What can happen is that it can rain and expect it to rain. Again, the prices can stabilize. But overall, a guidance that can even that against the previous year's raw material cost, this year we are seeing a higher raw material cost.
Shalini, but I just like to see it.
Higher raw material cost, but lesser realization in the profit and loss account. Is that correct?
No. If the realization will be high.
Okay, I'll take this question offline. And my second question is, when does the open offer end?
I think the offer dates are, we are just awaiting the SEBI approval, but it's expected to open up in the first week of June, and that by the third week of June it should end. So it's there as per the public announcement. Those dates are there, but we're just waiting for the SEBI approval to come through.
Okay, but sir, I just wanted to understand on what basis you gave an open offer price of 147, because at the time you announced the open offer, price was ruling much higher at around 170 odd. So on what basis did you arrive at this open offer price?
Forgetting me or this company, no individual has got his right at his whims and fancies to come up with the price. It's a semi-regulated price and the merchant banker verifies. And it's slightly incorrect. The day it was announced, just prior to that, the prices were lower. And it's only after the announcement that it came up. But the SEBI formula rate came to 146 and some odd amount. And it's always advisable to do a round figure. So, in fact, we are slightly higher than the SEBI formula. So, it is on that basis that the pricing is announced.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Anuj Jain from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Your audio is a little low. If you could go off the mic, if you could go off the speakerphone and go on the microphone once.
Hello.
It's still muffled a bit.
Hello.
Yes, you need
hello,
to...
Hello, Anuj.
Yes. Yes,
low?
I'm audible.
Your voice is low.
Is it still now?
It is still low, yes. You need to go off the speakerphone, please. Or the handset that you're using. Come on, speak directly from the phone.
Yeah, I'm speaking directly from the phone.
Is the management able to hear Anuj?
Yes, we can.
Okay. All right, Anuj, you may go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I had a couple of questions. So my first question is, what is the quantity and value of, outsourced inventory as of March 24? And what is the targeted production of in-house and outsourced?
So we don't like to give this breakup in a public conference call because these are certain things that are private to the company and is sensitive with respect to what we share as data to the competition. Given that statement, I'd like just like to tell you that every season we keep on adding processors outside, and we have also added capacities inside. I mean, in-house as such. So we wouldn't be able to give you the exact mix of the same.
Okay, sir. And is there a ballpark number of how much quantity is committed by major customers?
So the order book for FY25 is just started building. And by end of July is when we would actually get a better idea when where we exactly stand for this particular season.
I just like to add one point. We as a company, for any type of crop, whatever we are processing, all the years we process from day one till day end. Objective is to cover maximum volume. And once you have a coverage, then we go to the market. There are some fixed contracts. Fixed contract in the sense that customer profile are fixed, who are taking from us since 3 decades. So first we allocate such customer, and then whatever additional stock, if at all available, then we go to the open market based on the demand supply. So for us, order books is not a challenge. Challenge is procurement processing, because being in agricultural commodities, there is lots of ifs and buts on the crop availability and price. So that's the only challenge we face. So customer profile, order book is the least problem for us.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. That was also mine.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Manish Sehgal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Just a couple of questions. One, of course, you mentioned that you've processed 40% more volume, whereas we've sold broadly same as last year, which means that that extra 40% volume will come through this financial year?
Yes, likely so, because whatever you produce against a confirmed order. And since the Indian beverage industry is not performed what they have anticipated, so there is a growth. So hence there is a carry forward of the stocks. So these stocks is likely to move in this quarter. I mean, the maximum is in this quarter and followed by next quarter. You are correct. The whatever stocks you are holding, it will be sold in this year on.
Perfect. Secondly, given this, we are holding the stock, so we've had finance costs related to that, which is doubled over the previous year same quarter, which means that this cost will also be paid by the customer eventually, which will also show when this thing is sold, right?
Yeah, we have a cost plus model, and during the price finalization, we consider what is called the average holding period. If the average holding period is vary, then definitely we are entitled to claim holding period cost from the customer. So if it's a significant variance, yes, customers we generally get, but if it's within the controllable, then we may not get it. But for this year, we are expecting that there will be a additional upward price revision for the holding period cost.
So looking at these two parameters, at least for Q1 and Q2, we can say that our performance will be much, much better than first half of last year.
So Manish,
as of now, yes, I think whatever we had targeted, it's moving accordingly. But Q2 is too early to comment at this stage, because it depends on many other factors. Q2, generally, whatever production we'll be doing now, part of the quantities also go in Q2. So it depends everything on how we produce for this year, which is okay.
Having said that, that 40% extra itself will add a lot in the first half, right?
Yeah. First quarter, what we anticipated is, as of now, it is moving in that direction.
So, in previous question, I had just highlighted that in Q1 of FY25, as we speak, the volume growth is much higher than 20% that we had actually seen in Q4 of FY24. So, that would just be an indication of what we are doing in Q1.
No, understood. I understood. But, of course, I mean, if we are saying that we made 40% higher last year and sold only same of previous year.
Correct.
Which means 40% from carried over from last year, and perhaps this year, which if even if it is equal to last year, will be much higher than the FY22.
Perfect. Perfect.
Correct?
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Sonny.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shyam Garg, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is with respect to the confinement of canned tomatoes that we sent to Hong Kong. What is the approx value of that confinement and what are reallocation that you are expecting from it and what in how much period?
We are launching our own product in Hong Kong and canned tomato category, as you rightly said. May not be a right time to indicate what will be the likely volume, but there's no period. It's endless. Means if it's a good success, I'm sure volume is likely to grow every year, every quarter. But so far, we have already dispatched around 20 metric tons of product, which will value around $35,000. And I believe that next month to be followed one more similar load. So like that, it will likely to increase. As you know, this is the first launch, so it will take time, market to understand the product, market to absorb the product. And once we have done a thorough market study, so we are quite confident and we are associated with a very established distributor company, which is basically Mr. Raymond Simpkins, who is joining us as a co-promoter. His group, Gates Corporation, they are a big distributor in Hong Kong since more than 40 years, I believe. So we are in a good hand and we are in a good position. We are quite bullish that we will be able to introduce few more products in that market.
And let me add that we stood to the competition of Chinese products, and Hong Kong has its own proximity to China, but we have kind of passed the parameters of the quality, color, taste, everything. So it's a matter of time to really see the success of the
thing. In fact, I would like to add one more. We as Indian is very proud. The reason is that, as Mr. Milan told, that Hong Kong market is tomato product is 99% from Chinese origin. So we were targeting to enter this market more than 1 year or maybe I think 18 months, and finally we succeed to overcome all the challenges on the taste profile, on price, on many other factors. So we are very happy. I mean, Indian tomato will be now available in Hong Kong. That's what I'd like to highlight.
Also, Mr. Shah, this is one of the synergistic benefits that the, new onboarding promoter actually gets on board, basically because he has his distribution network already present in Hong Kong, which is actually helping us pass through those markets as such.
Okay, that's helpful, sir. And my next question is with respect to what are the steps you are taking to tap the market of MBS and Everest, since they have been banned for a while. Are we taking any aggressive steps to cater to that market?
I could hear the question. So he's actually asking about how we are actually taking steps to actually get into the markets that were vacated by MDH and Everest because of the controversy which was there just recently. So just to make matters clear, we have spices which actually does not have the ETO treatment which Everest and MDH do, because of which those cancer-producing elements are not there in those spices. And it's a God-given opportunity for us, wherein even in the local markets, there has been some space which has been vacated by them, which has been occupied by us in a few stores. We are not as large as an Everest or an MDH with respect to the distribution that we have, but then we have taken our small steps that are actually required to get into those markets.
So what role do we in spices this year from those markets? Or it's having substantial growth, or it's around 10-20% growth. How do you see it?
Just a second. The other promoter's line dropped. So, Mike, are you there on the call? Their line has actually dropped, is what they say.
Yeah, I'm trying to connect with them back again, but I can't get a response. Just give me a moment. I'll try to get them back again.
Okay. See you.
We have the management connected now. So can you hear us?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Hi, Sam.
Yeah. Hi. So you can please repeat your question.
Yes. So my question is with respect to what kind of growth in 5G we are seeing this year, since our competitors have there's a weakening strength in the market. Is it 10-20% of growth, or we see a substantial growth?
See a substantial growth. Our targets are small. As you actually saw in FY24, we actually grew from say 18 odd crores to 24 odd crores in Kusum. And in the next 3 years, our target is to the first step is to actually get to 100 crores.
Okay, sir. So we can expect around 35-40 crores this year.
Please don't ask me for numbers, because that's like forward guidance and I wouldn't like to give any forward guidance on that.
Okay, noted too. And sir, I can squeeze in one more question.
Sure.
What is the revenue guidance for FY25 and operating margins? Can we expect 1400 crores of, or 1500 odd crores of revenue top line? And if you can give some specification about the bottom line as well.
So, Shyam, our top line is always a function of the raw material price. But having said that, our endeavor is to actually increase the volume that we have actually sold on a year-on-year basis, and also to increase the absolute gross margin per kg. So, with respect to exact numbers, with respect to the top line, I can obviously not give you, because the raw material price, the procurement is still going on in this particular season. So it's impossible for me to give you a forward guidance on that.
Any range if you can provide?
Forward guidance, definitely not, boss.
Okay. Okay. I'll join back and let you ask a few more questions.
Thank you so much, Sean. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, on the business side, the previous call and interaction, we have mentioned that the capex which we have completed till date, this can actually, the capacity build up at peak utilization can result in about 1700 to 1800 crores of top line in next 3 years. So when we talk about 1700 1800 crores 3 years hence, the breakup between various segments, how will it look like? Like, I think Kusum we are targeting somewhere 100 crores. So apart from Kusum, what kind of other segments will contribute at 1700-1800?
The pulp, we are doing a lot of other fruits and vegetables under the pulp segment. That's number one. As we told you that we have also added a capacity for tomato processing as we speak. The plant is expected to go on stream, I think, by Q2 FY25. Is it right, MS?
Yeah.
Yeah, so by Q2 of FY25, we would have this additional tomato processing line in place. So in FY24 itself, we had a large order which we could not take for tomato processing, which could have been to the tune of, say, 150 odd crores, which we could have done, but we didn't have the capacity for that. Mango as a product is also having its own growth that we actually see in the market. Apart from this, we have actually diversified into a few other fruits and vegetables, which will also give us growth. Spray drying as a product is also growing, basically because of the shift in demand happening from European nations, Asian nations, because of the energy crisis in Europe. So all these things put together, along with Tetra Ricard and the branded products that we have, will help us achieve 1800 crores easily.
So Tetra Ricard could be around 100 out of that 1800?
With the current capacity, yes, 100. But as I told you in the previous calls, the infrastructure is built wherein there is only one line which has been put up in the entire infrastructure space that's been created. There could be five more lines which can be added in the same space without much of capex, except for the machinery.
Okay.
And just today's spray dried and frozen food would be contributing what kind of sales?
Spray dried as of last year would have been around 22 odd crores of sales, and frozen would have been 46 crores of sales.
Okay. So the frozen can be in the bracket of around 100 crores in 3-4 years. Is that a...
It's going really well, and with the new capacity that we have added in Wankel in Gujarat, the facility is doing really well, and we expect something around 150 crores going.
And sir, you just mentioned about this tomato order, which was 150 crores because of capacity constraint you couldn't. So are we talking about an order of 150 crores, which if the capacity existed, we would have executed it in 1 year? Is that understanding right?
That is right. But last year, there was another challenge as well. As in FY24, the tomatoes which were actually available in the regions that we were present in, were not of great quality, which we couldn't process more. So assuming there is enough decent raw material availability and the capacity comes on stream, we can definitely get to 150 crores.
Sure. And sir, margins in spray dried, frozen foods, kusum spices, tetra, are these margins in this segment higher than the company level margins?
Yes.
So the increasing contribution could lead to an increase in the margins coming because of this product mix change or the segmental change, mix change.
Correct. But I would always urge you to look at my company as an absolute EBITDA growth that we actually do rather than a margin percentage, because as I've explained time and again on this call and in the previous call, that our EBITDA margins, our gross margin percentage is always a function of the raw material price, because we play very safe with respect to passing on the prices in our B2B business.
Sure. So last 3 years, we have done very well, or I would put it 5 years also, from March 20 onwards till 24. Our EBITDA has gone up from about, or I would put that from March 14 till almost March 20, we were in the bracket of 25-30 crores. But in last 3-4 years now, we are coming to around 120 crores of EBITDA. And what I, based on the numbers of volumes, the EBITDA per ton is somewhere around 12,000, and the gross margin per ton is roughly around 30,000. So, and we have always mentioned that we should be looking at our company more in terms of gross margin or EBITDA per kg rather than a percentage basis. So my question is, first of all, am I somewhere near the numbers which are there, which exist? And going forward, what is the scope or what could drive this per kg EBITDA or gross margins to move up?
Okay, Rahul, this is a good question. But what we have also explained in a previous call is that generally the EBITDA for us is based on the product mix. So when you are actually seeing only the tonnage which is actually given in the investor presentation, it's the tonnage of all the products that we are actually putting up, whether it is mango. Inside mango, there are different varieties of mango, say Alfonso, Totapuri, Kesar, Neelam, and all those things. So the amount, the prices and the realization will depend upon the kind of mango that we sell. Say Alfonso has a higher realization than Totapuri, and Neelam has a slightly lesser realization than Totapuri. So it depends upon the blend as well. So for you to actually see it on a on that basis, which is actually put up on the investor presentation, is not the right way.
No, I do understand. But frankly speaking, on an overall basis, our EBITDA per ton has moved up from around 6,000 to 12,000 in 4-5 years. Your gross has moved up from about 25,000 to 30,000. It has moved up. So probably it is due to the product mix change. So typically, right, when we look ahead for next 3-4 years, what is the scope for this to go up further? And will that be driven by only product mix change or something else?
So we would always, season basis, each and every, basically say Totapuri, if my say example gross margin per kg last year was 7 rupees, next year would be at least 7.2 rupees or 7.3 rupees is what we actually do. So the product mix and the per kg relation that we actually fix with our customers on a year-on-year basis based on the raw material prices would actually contribute to this.
Sir, with regards to the taxation, you have mentioned in your presentation about the taxation, but if you could explain this more in detail, because I am not able to comprehend this properly. And also, going ahead, is this just a one-off tax which has come in, and in future, what will be the tax bracket?
Sure. So the tax bracket for us has now actually shifted from 25% to 30% plus the other charges which are there. So we fall at 34-point-some-odd percent as we speak. The reason for that is that we have actually increased our turnover from 400-odd crores as of FY22. So because of that, we have actually moved on to the higher tax bracket. That has been one contributor to the higher tax that we have actually paid. Second contributor to the tax is basically because we had actually given some ICDs to our associate company, which was called as Tri Global Foods Limited, in which we had tried to brand, they had their own brand, and we were actually giving them some monetary support as well as some materials to actually further the consumer division of theirs as such. Unfortunately, during COVID, they did not do well, and as of now, we have actually taken a stance that we might not be able to recover what we had actually given them. So we had written off around 2.7 crores of ICDs over and above whatever provisions that we had previously made. Now there are no more provisions that needs to be made for this particular company, and we have written off the entire thing. In view of that, there is a particular section called as Section 194R. Of TDS, wherein if you have to claim benefit under that, you will have to actually pay TDS to that particular company, and then the company will get benefit, and then you get a write-off here. So rather than doing all those things, we just said that, okay, we are not going to claim any tax benefit as of now. As in when the clarity evolves around Section 194R, we will come back to claim this benefit. So both these things have actually contributed to our, the optical illusion of the tax rate being higher. The other part with respect to the tax rate actually being higher from moving from 25 to 30% has happened for the company because of our turnover.
So going ahead, the normal tax bracket would be 35%, 34.94.
Correct. That's right.
So that will be our normal tax bracket. And with regards to this one-off, that is completely done away. So no more.
So that is completely done away.
Okay.
No one was expected with respect to the TGFL, that's Tri Global Foods Limited. Everything has been written out.
Okay. And one last bit, sir. You mentioned in one of the previous participants that growing our business is from a customer point of view, demand is there. So it is only procurement of the fruits which basically determines what kind of business you do or what kind of sales you generate in a year.
There are two things. One, we have a customer stickiness because of which these customers come back to us on a year-on-year basis since we have been operating with them since more than 30, 40 years as such. The second part of it is with respect to the stickiness that we actually have from our vendors, wherein a lot of our competitors have actually not been in great shape because of their personal problems in the other parts of their business as such. Because of which there is a lot of third generation and fourth generation farmers who still supply to us, and they give us a lot of credit. So this is where the moat in our business is. And going forward, what we are trying to do is basically build a lot on sustainability, wherein we are trying to inculcate all the sustainable practices in the business and the circular economy requirements of the large brands with the BRSR requirements, which are becoming very stringent and which is required for the top brands globally. Participants like us who actually give raw materials to these large brands become more important in their value chain system. So this is where the moat for us is actually developing in the business as such.
Sir, Coke and Pepsi have been our large customers, and practically they take more than 50% of tonnages. So and these are customers which have been there with you for a long time. And in a previous interaction, management, you people had did hinted that some of the large corporates also are planning to come into the business, which is why these existing customers probably are trying for annual contracts. So any kind of communication from any new large customer, prospective customer, which has come to you whereby you need to prepare yourself, because I'm sure the business will flow in maybe a year ahead afterwards, but somewhere those communication would start much earlier.
There are two parts to this question. One, with respect to the large brand that we had mentioned, Reliance is already in the business as such. So they had communicated with us, but with respect to the pricing that they actually asked, we have not been able to match the pricing that they have asked. That's number one. So this has actually played into our hands the other way around, wherein Coke and Pepsi actually understand that a lot of raw material which is going to be available is going to be sidelined by Reliance. So they are also trying to secure their supply chain. So that is where we are benefiting as a company.
Okay. Okay. And sir, just one last question with regards to the volumes. So from somewhere around 50,000 tons in March 21 to 78,000 to 100,000, and this year we are somewhere flattish. So next 3-4 years, given your perception or understanding of the business environment, the customer field, what kind of volumes we can do for, say, 3-4 years hence?
Rahul, so one thing that we had indicated last year itself is that our order book was higher by 40-odd%. So we have not completed servicing that order against, I mean, the manufacturing that we did against the confirmed orders as such. So that will flow through in this particular year, apart from the current year order book that we will build. So the current year order book, we might get a better sense by the end of July or early August as such, by which time we might be able to give you a view as to how this year might go.
No, I was talking more about the 3 years hence, with the existing infrastructure, your connects, your procurement processes and strategies, procurement agents, typically 3-4 years, what kind of volumes is possible? I'm not talking about the guidance for the next 1 year first.
See, our endeavor is obviously a minimum of 20% growth in the mango business accompanied by the other product mix that we have actually given you an idea about. But it's very difficult for me to just throw up a number on the volume.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, sir, for the detailed replies.
Thank you
so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Rahul.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Pawan Kumar from RT Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, question was regarding the gross margin.
Your audio is not very clear. If you could go off the speakerphone, please.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
This is much better, yes.
Okay. So my question was specifically regarding this particular quarter. If I look at basically the EBITDA per kg or gross margin per kg, when I take off the PLI incentive from the reported numbers, it seems like it has come down from around 11 rupees to 6.5 rupees. So is it like we are going to pass on whatever is the benefit from PLI incentive to the customers, or so what is the kind of strategy we are looking forward to?
Mr. Pawan, with respect to passing on the PLI incentives is definitely not a strategy, because this is not an industry-wide incentive which is actually something that we get, right? So the industry, there are only two players in the industry who have actually benefited under the PLI. Unlike
okay.
a lot of other... Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, unlike a lot of other schemes like the RoadTEP scheme or the MEIS scheme, that's the Merchandise Export Incentive Scheme, it was industry-wide, right? So at that point of time, the customers actually came to the vendors and said that, boss, this is something that you're getting as benefit, so you need to pass on a part of it to us. But now, when it is not an industry-wide practice, there is no passing on of benefits to them. So I hope that actually answers your question.
Yeah. So the thing is, last quarter, gross margin per metric ton, if I take off, I'm talking about ex-PLI benefits.
Right.
Gross margin per metric ton last quarter was around 35 rupees.
Right.
Now it is around 21 rupees. So what explains this, in the sense that sharp drop of around 14 in terms of gross margin per whatever you have processed in terms of volumes when it takes off the PLI?
I just explained in the previous call, which was actually put up in this particular call itself, that the product mix determines the gross margin per kg as well. So what we have sold in Q4 is would have been slightly lower realization per kg, because obviously gross margin came down.
Okay. But going forward, what is the kind of realistic expectation on gross margin per kg that we should have? Will it be more similar to Q3, or will it be more similar to Q4? What is the kind of expectations we should have?
Hi. Sorry, Monoy here. I just would like to highlight, I think someone communicated that our EBITDA per kg this year is lower than last year, but actually it's not there. Even if you exclude the PLI incentive, our EBITDA absolute figure is around 100 crore. Last year it was also 100 odd crore, this year also 100 odd crore, and this year volume is
I'm
less.
Talking about this specific quarter, sir. I'm not talking about the entire year.
Specific quarter. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm talking about overall we are... Our realization is better than last year by 1 rupee.
Yeah, that is right, sir. I fully agree with that. But my only thing was, what I'm trying to get answer about is, this particular quarter, why has the gross margin per... I'm not even talking about the realization. I'm just talking about gross margin, why has it dropped so sharply? And
the product mix last year, I think, this particular period, I believe okay. We have sold more concentrate than puree. There are two type of product in mango. One is the mango concentrate, okay. Another mango puree. Mango okay. Concentrate is having better gross margin than mango puree. So last year, PepsiCo okay. Took a major quantity of concentrate this quarter. But this quarter, we have seen PepsiCo concentrate is much lower than last year. However, other customers, puree has increased substantially, which is helping to have a volume growth. So this type of product mix sometimes give a distorted figure on the gross margin. But if we go to the product wise, then probably you will see that overall gross margin per kg slightly improved than last year.
Okay. Just let me put one more question. So it's like your gross margin per kg, if I start looking from September 22 quarter, it has varied between 40 rupees and the lowest has been this particular quarter, 21 rupees. So what is the realistic kind of gross margin per kg we should be looking at between 20 and 40? Well, is it the average or is it...
Sir, it will be difficult to say because it's a product mix. Because if I say something, assuming some product mix, if it's not going to happen, if I say uniform product mix, then it may go to 35 to 40 in between. If the uniformity product is not going to happen, if there is change, then the product mix, definitely the gross margin likely to be changed. So it's very difficult in our type of product category to say you that this quarter, this is the right gross margin. It may not be correct to indicate from our side.
And Mr. Pawan, with respect to the volumes that are given also includes volume from pre-drying, volumes from Kusum, volumes from the other businesses that we do, right? So just to divide that and get a realization is not the right way to look at the business is what we have tried to time and again express on the call.
Okay. Okay. And one more question that I had was currently our debt levels have gone up a little and even our finance costs are up. So are we looking at any kind of number in terms of the upper band in terms of debt to equity or how are we looking at that particular element?
As we stand today, I think we would have almost reached to the peak levels of our debt. Because by June end, we should have our investors' money that actually comes in the form of equity, right? We have that warrant issue which actually happened in November of 22, for which the 18-month period actually ends in June of 2024. So having said that, unless we grow our sales drastically, we might not need more amount of working capital debt. But if you see the debt which has actually risen to the level that has as of March 31st, the major reason for that is basically we had produced 40% more than what we actually did in FY23, but the sales that we have actually achieved till March is only what we did in FY23. So bulk of it actually stands in inventory of March 24 balance sheet.
I would also like to highlight one point. If our balance sheet closes at June, then we could have seen that debt level substantially reduced. But because the stock which you are holding, substantial stock is moving now. So that is the due to this carry forward of stocks, the working capital outstanding was more. But otherwise, there is nothing to be concerned on this particular, because being a seasonal nature of business, we need to invest in 3 months' time or during the season period and dispatch or liquidate the stocks next 12 to 15 months' time. So this is the nature of business, so we have to bear with that type of volatility.
Okay. Well, one small extended question, sir. So, I am asking you this question because our inventory levels are high. So, let's say I process, 10 kgs of mango this particular quarter, and I was able to sell only 8 kgs. So, the two kgs processing cost, would it come into the expenses items this particular quarter, or will it get recorded whenever that 2 kgs get sold?
Okay. It is always a matching sales to matching cost concept.
Okay.
We follow the Ind AS.
Okay. So basically you are saying though we have processed 40% of extra, that 40% extra cost has not been recorded as of now.
Yes. It will
come in the quarter when we sell that material.
Okay. Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I'm done.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Shyam Garg, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. So my question is...
Shyam, your audio again is very muffled. If you go off the speakerphone.
Is it better now?
It's still sounding very distant.
Hello?
Yes, you speak a little more closer to the microphone.
Okay. So my first question is with respect to the CAPEX. What is the CAPEX guidance for this year?
So we have finished most of the CAPEX except for the CAPEX that needs to be done for the tomato processing line in Gunde, Nasik. We should be up by Q2 of FY25. Not more than 15-odd crores that can be actually seen. Going forward, the total project cost would have been, say, around 25 to 30-odd crores as such. That's number one. Apart from which, we have a small CAPEX that we are actually doing at our co-packers line, which is in Ahmednagar, which is the top food processing line that we have. So again, MS, you might be, you might be able to give a better idea of the CAPEX that we are doing there. Hello? Hello?
Was the management able to hear the question?
I could hear. What about the others?
Yeah.
Hello, MS?
Yeah, tell me.
So can you just give us some idea about the kind of CAPEX that we are going to do in the TPPL processing line apart from the tomato processing line that we are doing in Gunde?
That is already done. I think 70-80% production. The total cost will be likely around 25 to 30 crore in between, and in March.
Sir, which one are you talking about? The tomato processing line or the TPPL?
Tomato processing line in Gunde.
So that I've already given an idea. So with respect to TPPL, just if you could just guide us.
No, we are not incurring any major costs there, other than some storage activity. We need to enhance the storage activity. Otherwise, we are not doing any capex there because we have a existing line which we have transferred there to increase the capacity. Only you have to increase the storage, which will be around 3 to 4 crores. That we have not yet done, we have not yet decided.
So Mr. Shyam, so the total capex that you can actually expect in FY25 should be around 25 odd crores as such. That's it, all put together.
But Anand, out of 25 odd crores, I believe that some product already, some cost already incurred in this quarter, FQ4, which is in under WIP. So I believe the actual addition would be like 18 crore or something, should not be more than that. 17, 18
crores. Okay, 18 crores, including the ECRC in Bangladesh.
Yeah,
okay. I hope, Sam, that gives you the answer for that.
Yes, yes, sir. That answers my question. And so, with respect to working capital cycle, do we see any decrease in working capital employee days this year?
Last year was tough for us because the call-offs were lower than the production that we actually did. So we are obviously expecting that to go down this year, especially with the increased competition that the brands are seeing from Reliance and the Tata consumers as such. We are hoping for it. Let's hope for the best.
Okay, sir. And so while we are procuring frozen fruits or pulps from satellite factories, how do we, just a fundamental question here, how do we procure it? Do we just for it go there and check the quality of the product, or we call the product and then we check the quality? If it's up to the mark, we'll take it, and otherwise we'll send it back. How does it work?
No. So what we do during the season time, we have our people placed in that factory, and we have a few SOPs which are actually given to that particular factory over a particular line, which needs to be produced in a particular manner following those SOPs as such. So our people ensure that all the SOPs are in place and is as per the customer requirements as well, and then we actually procure it as and when the customer demand comes in.
Okay. Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand it over to Mr. Anand Krishna for closing comments.
Thank you so much, Mike. I want to express my gratitude to all our investors and shareholders for their continued support. Your trust in our company is invaluable, and we take it seriously. We have already laid a strong foundation for sustainability and are confident in our ability to grow with sustainability at the core of all our practices. Should you need any further clarifications, or would you like to know more about the company, please feel free to write to us. Thank you once again. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Foods and Inns Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.